And welcome back, latest and greatest episode of the Shaving Points Podcast. My name is Jayton May, joined as always by my co-host, Quentin Crisco. Super Wildcard Weekend is here. How are we doing?
I'm just excited for our Palooza. We got a Super Wildcard Weekend Palooza. Every game. Have picks for maybe every game. I've got almost every game. So as long as you got the other one, we got them all. We got
four.
Got five.
So big day as a Chicago Bears fan. You have so many picks, so many opportunities. You got first pick, you got ninth pick, you got picks on picks on picks. You got teams needing quarterbacks that might come get quarterbacks. You have endless possibilities. How are we feeling?
I mean, I feel great about the picks. I mean, I've watched...
That could be anything.
I've watched all 22 for 9 of Caleb's games so far, and I am very, very, very impressed.
Yeah.
I've watched 4 Drake May, and I love Caleb. I want Caleb on my football team.
Caleb Williams is very, very good. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Not in the playoffs.
They don't mess him up by keeping a defensive conservative head coach in charge, but we'll find out.
Yeah. You got it's crazy that that's still lingering. You gotta just go hit that reset button. I mean, the Titans reset, and Vrabel's one of the better coaches in the league. Granted, it was probably a little bit of a mutual thing, but. Yeah, you got to go do something. You got to go get an offensive guy. And there's guys out there to be had. But Caleb Williams. I wish I would have beat the Packers, but Caleb Williams.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, Caleb Williams is exciting, man. But how about them Cowboys?
Yeah. I'm terrified. Very excited.
I would be too if... Like Mike McCarthy against Green Bay would just be scary. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's
high risk there.
Cowboys are better everywhere except at the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And that's what terrifies me.
Yeah, maybe the linebackers, but the linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the defense can just come out and ball out and everything's good and we just. Turn them over 4 or 5 times early in the game and just roll on from there. But yeah, if this is a tight game in the fourth quarter where you have big, fat, dumb Mike McCarthy on the sidelines versus LaFleur, I will be absolutely mortified if it comes to that. But hoping it doesn't come to that.
Speaking of which, you want to jump in?
Yeah, absolutely. First game of the week. Texans back where they belong. Texans were in this early Saturday slot for about 10 years in a row, it seemed like, and then they took a short hiatus, but now they're back.
I did not even think about that. The Texans are, this is their annual playoff game every year.
No matter what, it's always the first Saturday game.
If they're in the playoffs, this is their spot.
I mean, this is the first time where I think they have the quarterback advantage, which is very slim. But I think a slight quarterback advantage. First time they've had that in the playoffs. And against the team that took their quarterback that isn't even playing their quarterback. So, I mean, it would be incredible if Deshaun Watson was playing this game. But we have the elite Joe Flacco going down to Houston where the Texans are 2.5-point home dogs on Super Wildcard Weekend Palooza. What do you think about this game?
One of only 2 home dogs and 2 teams who took very different routes to get to the same place.
Yep.
I think that's hilarious that it's the team that Watson went to.
Without Watson.
So first thing I noticed when I look at this game, Texans lost 22-36 in week 16, but Stroud didn't play. So it's kind of irrelevant. Is Stroud worth 14 points? A difference? I mean, 22-36, that's 14-point differential there.
I think he is worth that much, considering.
I think he might. I mean, especially if I don't know the details of that game, but maybe Case Keenum threw a pick that ended up it going to a touchdown, if not necessarily a pick six or something like that. Like, I think
overall team confidence, team morale, defense is going to be able to play better. I mean, you feel like you have a better chance. So maybe you jump a route that you wouldn't jump a route. Maybe you don't play as conservative because you know you got a dude back there at quarterback, to where you got a guy like Case Keenum playing who, with all due respect, is just kind of back there. I think it changes your offense. I think it changes your defense. I think it changes your whole team's dynamic. So, yeah, I think he's worth 14 points.
I generally agree. And I was shocked when I was looking up stats today on this, that in EPA per play, the Browns are in the dumpster of the league, like passing, rushing, everything. They're way at the bottom. And
what do those numbers look like when Joe Flacco took over? Because their team kind of turned around after that.
He was there for a good portion of it, though. What week did he start playing?
I think this would be his fifth start. So he didn't play week 18. So like week
14?
11? No, yeah, week 14. I don't know where
14 through 17?
Something like that. It sounds about right.
Let's see how they look. So, yeah, they are 26th in EPA per play, week 14 through 17.
Okay.
Their passing offense is 21st, or wait, no, that's success rate. Passing offense is 22nd in EPA per dropback. So, like, I was just surprised they were still that low.
Yeah. Very good defense. It seems
like they're playing really well, but the defense, yeah, is probably helping them out a lot. But another thing that has felt weird about the Browns all year for me is they've been in a fair amount of shootouts this year, but their defense is so good. It doesn't, like, add up. And their defense is really good statistically, but you look at their schedule and the scores, and it's like, you know, 37 to 20, 36 to 22, 31 27, 19 to 36, 33 to 31. Like, it's surprising how many points they've actually allowed. Like, they're 13th in points allowed this year.
So you're saying take the over?
I'm kind of wondering it. I mean, I also feel like every Texans game ends 23 to 20.
Yeah.
Especially the playoffs. Yeah. Like, all season, the Texans have just played in 23 to 20 games every week.
Yeah. Now, I tend to agree with you, but yeah, I mean, I think CJ Stroud back is a huge game changer. I mean, look at some of the plays he made last week. I mean, the dude is incredible. One of the best rookies we've seen in a very, very long time. So I like Texans to roll here. I'm taking Texans plus 2.5 at home, home dogs in the playoffs. Give me Texans plus 2.5 here. I think they get it done. I like them on the money line too.
Yeah, this is the only game I don't have, so that means we have every game covered, but I'm staying away from it. I think this opened at 3 or 3.5. I'd like it more there, but at 2.5, I'm avoiding it.
No.
All right, next up, we got the Dolphins going to Kansas City in the freezing cold. Chiefs are 4-point favorites. Total of 44. High of 9 degrees on Saturday.
Supposed to feel low like negative 17.
-1.
Supposed to 15. Feel like negative 17 on the field.
Yeah, 15-mile-an-hour winds. That'll get you. That'll make it feel even worse. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, I like the Chiefs here. I don't think the Dolphins can play in the cold. They're not built to play in the cold. That Chiefs defense is mean. It's nasty. It's physical. Tua's got those little bitty baby hands. He's not going to be able to hold on to the football. I don't know about Jalen Waddle's status in this game, but I think guys like Chris Jones and everything are going to be able to get after him. It's going to be hard for Miami to establish that running game in that cold weather against that defense. It's Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Give me Chiefs minus 4. I think everybody's kind of counting out the Chiefs with the way they played at the end of the season. But, I mean, it's almost impossible to play as bad as they played down the stretch. I mean, somebody's got to step up on this team. We've been saying it all year. maybe it's Rashee Rice, who knows, but Jerick McKinnon last year stepped up huge in the playoffs, in the playoff run. Maybe it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year. Anybody, just anybody who can step up and catch the ball. Patrick Mahomes is putting on everybody. Take some pressure off Kelsey. Let Kelsey get going in that offense, and I think the Chiefs can roll. I like the Chiefs minus four here with the weather, with the pedigree of the team. They're a championship team, and Patrick Mahomes is still your quarterback. Give me Chiefs minus four.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested by this game because you remember last December when the Dolphins went up to Buffalo in the freezing cold in a blizzard and won?
Vaguely.
Like they won a high scoring game, and it's interesting. So I'm really interested to see how Miami plays. Tyreek Hill's first time back in Kansas City since being traded. So I think he's going to do well. I do ultimately side with Kansas City's defense here. I do think they're a little susceptible to the run, like they're 17th in rush success rate allowed. But generally, I think that the cold plus their defense is just, I think they're going to force a few mistakes. I think Spags is going to be on his game. And right now, Miami is the second most injured team in football.
Yeah.
Kansas City is the healthiest. Yeah,
Miami literally doesn't have anybody to rush the passer.
No, they've lost their top three edge rushers.
Top four, they just lost Van Ginkle.
Who's the other? So there's Phillips, there's Chubb, Van Ginkle, and who else?
Whoever was the other guy across from Van Ginkle. He was like playing special teams and like caught a knee in like the middle of the game, and he was one of two edge rushers left on the team. So now there's just one, and I don't even know his name. But yeah, the guy they lost, he was a special teamer that went in when Van Ginkle got hurt, and then he got hurt playing special teams. And now I think, like, at least during the game, they had one healthy edge rusher.
They just signed Melvin Ingram, didn't they? Or did they have him already?
They might have just signed him. I don't know. But didn't he get hurt too?
I don't know. Maybe. The injury report I'm looking at is only 2, 3, 4, 5. It's only seven players deep, so it can't go over seven players.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just remember on the graphic they had one healthy edge rusher, so their one healthy might have been Melvin Ingram. I don't know.
But either way, I mean, I'm with you. I'm taking Kansas City minus four here. I think even, I mean, it's marginal, but like Miami had to play Sunday night. And Kansas City didn't. Like, I think that alone is going to be a factor too. Plus time zone difference. Plus there's just a lot working against Miami here. Plus how injured they are, and a lot working in the Chiefs' favor. And Andy Reid, I think, is such a good coach that the Chiefs are going to find a way to cover this number.
Yeah, I agree. And it sucks for Miami because if they would have won that game, they would have got Bills at home this week. And I think they would much rather be playing the Bills in Miami for the second straight week rather than go to freezing cold Kansas City to play Patrick Mahomes and the boys. So should have got it done.
Yeah. I don't know though. You think, like, I don't know if I'd want to play Josh Allen the week after I just beat him though, either. Like, I'd rather do that than this, but that's still a tough, like, I have to think about that.
But I mean, I think you'd still rather play at home than go on the road to Kansas City, no matter what the scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, anyways, speaking of Buffalo, we got the Steelers, Mike Tomlin and the boys heading up to Buffalo, New York, upstate, to take on Josh Allen and his boys, the Bills. Bills are 10-point favorites, total of 36.5. What do you
think? Such a low total for such a big spread.
I know.
I'm not betting this one. If I were, I would just take the Steelers blindly. Double-digit road dog, Mike Tomlin, great defense. I'm assuming T.J. Watt's going to play, even with his – he was acting like he was going to finish the game if he had to, and then they said it was just a grade 2 MCL sprain. I mean, if he's not playing, maybe that changes things. He was ruled out today. Today he's ruled out?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep.
That might change.
9 hours ago he was ruled out.
That's crazy. I thought there's no way he wouldn't play this game. But okay, so no TJ Watt, but still a really good defense on top of that. And Josh Allen can play bad football. I mean, he can also place. He can also be Superman sometimes. So, but I mean, 10 points is just so much. Mason Rudolph's been playing well. So I would probably take the Steelers here, but I'm not touching this. It's such a weird line and a weird total on top of that.
Yeah. I think the Bills. Rudolph's been playing decently, but like also the Bills defense has been playing really good football lately too. And that's a talented defense. Like,
yeah. Bills are such a strange team to me because, I mean, they're like what the Cowboys are historically. It's like if they play their best game, nobody can beat them, but they can also go out there and lose to anybody.
I think they're winning the AFC this year. Just a gut feeling. Like, I can't actually rationalize it because, like, the Ravens are just the better team. But, like, I look at the Bills, and I said since the preseason, this is going to be one of those weird years where some team who squeaks into the playoffs just goes on a crazy run because they get hot and just, like, do crazy things. And I just feel like that's
the Houston Texans.
I mean, I don't think the Texans have enough talent. I just don't.
Until they do.
Like, I think the Bills are just prime. I think they've gone through enough heartbreak, too, that, like, they
playoff
can just
flip
a switch in a certain way that it just a gut feeling of mine that they're gonna take the AFC. And besides that, though, I think they're going to do it in wild fashion. I don't think they're covering double digits against anyone in the process. So I'm staying away from the spread here. I'm taking the total. Snow, high of 23, low of 19, 25-mile-an-hour winds in Buffalo this weekend. I don't think anyone's throwing the ball that well. I'm taking the under 36.5. Maybe it gets thrown off by a pick six or something. I'll live with it. But I think Steelers are going to need to keep the ball on the ground. Bills are going to need to keep the ball on the ground for the most part. Even though Josh Allen can cut through the wind, like, I just think the Bills are going to win a, like, 17-7 game here or something, or 17-10, like, 13-7. I don't know, but it's going to be ugly, I think, and it's good. I think the Bills will win. I don't think they cover this, though.
16-8.
Yeah, perfect. Maybe 11.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, next up, we have the bad people going to Dallas. I can't look, think about that, but going to Dallas. Dallas are 7.5-point favorites, total of 50.5. How about them Cowboys, Jay?
How about them Cowboys? I said, what, week 10, this was my nightmare scenario, and here we are. It's just time to just go out there and just kill the ghost. I mean, it's what taunted Cowboys fans for years now. I mean, it used to be Aaron Rodgers, so let's just hope. Let's just get the fucking monkey off our back. Go out there, beat the dog shit out of this team. Go out there and turn Jordan Love over 5 times in the first half. Just absolutely bury him. Get a nice 35-point lead in the first half, and just end it for all, and then move on to the next week. Hopefully, we'll play the Eagles in the second round, and bury them too. Just get rid of all the demons. Jimmy Johnson's in the Ring of Honor. Just bury the demons, move on. I'm taking over 50.5 here. I think Cowboys can get it by themselves. But and what might turn into a tight game, I think we go over either way. So yeah, give me over 50.5 here. But I think Cowboys dog walk them.
Yeah, I look at this game. I mean, the Packers have one of the worst secondaries in the NFL. Like, they
CeeDee Lamb is incredible.
Yeah, I have written right here in my notes, take all the CeeDee Lamb props. If you're playing DFS, get CeeDee Lamb. Like, this is a week for him to go off. This is a Green Bay Packers defense who gave up 24 points to Tommy DeVito a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Who gave up 30 to the Carolina Panthers. And just to hammer that point home, the Panthers scored 7 points against the Falcons in week 15. No, I'm sorry, 9 points against the Falcons in week 15, 0 points against the Jaguars in week 17, and zero points against the Buccaneers in week 18. Sandwiched in between all that was a 30-burger against the Packers.
Yeah. And CeeDee Lamb just I don't know how. I know how, but just very quietly caught like 120 balls for like 1600 yards this year. So
yeah. So between that secondary, CeeDee Lamb, the Cowboys passing offense is strong. I'm taking the over 50.5 here. The only thing I look at in this game that really worries me, coaching aside, is Green Bay's D-line, the Cowboys O-line being a little banged up, because that D-line can't eat. Not like they have talent across
Zach Martin
the line. They have depth. They're a good D-line.
Yeah, Zach Martin was just out sick last week with the flu, so he should be back. Okay. Tyler Smith could have played last week, but decided to rest him. The backups actually played pretty well in those guard spots. Tyron Smith, he's shaky, but, I mean, if we can just get four good games out of him, we'll be all right there. And then Steele's played all right, and Biotis has played all right. But, yeah, having Tyler Smith back and Zach Martin, I think we'll be fine there. I would love to see Pollard finally start to get going. He was starting to get going early in the Washington game, and we were running directly at Payne and Allen with two backup guards early in the game, getting 7 yards a pop. So that made me feel really good. That I mean, the only strong part of the Washington defense, and we were able to move the ball on them there.
Yeah. I mean, the Packers are 23rd in the NFL in yards per carry allowed, 28th in total yards allowed. Yeah. I mean, you can run on them, but more the pass rush that I was thinking, like with between Kenny Clark and Preston Smith and
Dak's been really good about getting the ball out quick. Jake Ferguson's been incredible for us this season. Brandon Cooks is finally starting to come along, especially on the short to intermediate routes, quick outs, stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I like everything about this Cowboys team right now. Packers scared the shit out of me just because of the logo, nothing about the team. Matt LaFleur a little bit, but I mean, it's just seeing that fucking green and yellow G in the playoffs just gives me nightmares.
And Matt LaFleur should scare you a little. Like, that dude's an incredible head coach.
Yeah.
But I'm very impressed by him this year.
I expect the Cowboys to roll, and I expect the over to hit.
Boom. Next up, another revenge game. We got Matt Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. That's Detroit legend Matthew Stafford coming home. Not to Dallas, to Detroit. Going back to where it all started. To Ford Field to take on his Lions who gave up on him, who let him go for nothing. Well, something. They got a little something out of it. But Lions 3.5-point favorites, 51.5-point total. What do you think of this one?
So everybody's talking about this as a revenge game for Matt Stafford. That was a mutual parting. Let's do right by you. You stuck around with us forever. No, this is a revenge game for Jared Goff, the man who took you to a Super Bowl two years prior. You just threw away. He wasn't even like part of the trade. That was just like, we have to get rid of you, so we'll send you along with all these other first round picks. So the Detroit Lions, you're nothing to us. You're nothing to this league. And all the motherfuckers done is ball out, lead. Did what Matt Stafford could never do, lead the Lions to a home playoff game, hosting his former team, his former coach that gave up on him, that literally just threw him away, was just a part of the deal, wasn't even the main focus of the deal, just said, get rid of him, we don't know what else to do with you, we're already sending all these first-round picks, might as well just take Jared Goff with you as well. This is the Jared Goff revenge game. This is Matt Stafford coming home. It's going to be a nice moment. But the Matthew Stafford doesn't feel slighted by the Lions. I mean, it was mutually beneficial. It was, what's good for you is good for me. I did what I could. I'm moving on. Y'all are moving on from me. It was a happy see you later. And then when Jared Goff got to Detroit, they're like, "Oh, this is a bridge guy. We got all these picks now. We're going to be bad." And then all of a sudden, wait, we're not bad. We're good. And Jared Goff is good. And Jared Goff is going to beat the dog shit out of the Los Angeles Rams this weekend. They're going to get it done. Give me Lions minus three.
Give me Rams plus 3.5. No. I mean, they might not win. I think they'll cover 3, though. Like, give me the hook on that, 3.5.
No.
I like that number.
No.
I mean, I think Stafford's going to put up points and yards. I think their offense is going to be just fine. That the Detroit defense has really not been good this year. Their holes all over, especially since Aleem McNeil went down. You can run the ball on them. Their pass rush is lacking. Their secondary outside of Brian Branch has been underwhelming. And I think this is going to be a close game. I'm not sure who wins, but I think it's going to be close.
It'll be a fun game.
Which means at 3.5, I'll take the Rams.
I kind of want the Rams to win just so we can get the Eagles in the second round. But at the same time, I think the Lions will win. But I'll be happy either way in this game. I'll be happy getting the Eagles in the second round, and also be happy with the Lions moving on and getting past Super Wild Card weekend. So, but if you ask me, I'd rather play the Eagles than the Lions. So
here's what we know. We know Sean McVay is a witch. If Jared Goff takes down the King Witch, does he become a witch?
Yes. He's a wizard.
So if Jared Goff wins this game, the Lions are winning the Super Bowl.
Lions-Bills Super Bowl would be pretty electric.
That would be wild. I'm here for that. I want to see it.
Or Lions-Texans.
Last game of the week. Monday night. The Philadelphia Eagles, who Chris Long called out today on Twitter, going to Tampa. Tampa Brady. Tampa Bay. The land of Brady. Take on the Buccaneers. Buccaneers are 3-point dogs here, total of 43.5. What do you think?
Tampa Baker.
Ooh, now we're cooking.
So, I think the Buccaneers can absolutely win this game and stay within the number. I'm not betting it because, I mean, the Eagles should win this game. Eagles have the pedigree. They went to the Super Bowl last year, but they just look like shit right now. People forget that Jalen Hurts should have won MVP if they would have ended the season at week 10. He was as close to winning MVP as Carson Wentz was, and people forget Carson Wentz basically won the MVP. So, I mean, at least they have that going for them, is that in the past 7 years, they basically have 2 MVP winners with 2 quarterbacks that look most likely won't be on the roster 2 years from now with the way that this city turns their back on their guys. Everybody's already calling for Nick Sirianni's job, which is hilarious. I just can't wait for the day they fire Howie Roseman out of spite and just fall into the deep.
You mean again?
Do what?
Fire Howie Roseman out of spite again.
Yeah. and just so they can fall into the deep depths of hell and just mediocrity forever, because that's where they belong, because they're trash, they're garbage, and they don't deserve happiness, in all honesty. So I hope they lose this game, and I hope they just fire everybody. They run Jalen Hurts out of town, they run Nick Sirianni out of town, they run Howie Roseman out of town, and then they just fall into the deep despair, and maybe 15 years from now we can be happy whenever they make a wild card weekend again for the first time in a decade and a half.
Can I read you this Chris Long quote on the Eagles?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
So it was from his Green Light podcast. I think the best thing that could have happened to them, the Eagles, is being on the road and playing the Bucks. I think if this team played at home, they pissed down their legs because of the pressure. The minute they got booed, go 3 and out, I'm not betting on them. But if they can run the ball, they have a shot.
Yeah. I mean,
pretty rough.
DeAndre Swift hasn't looked great down the stretch. I mean, nobody on that team has looked great down the stretch. I don't know if AJ Brown's healthy. I don't know if Devonta Smith's healthy. I don't know what any of that's like. And Yeah, I mean, they're losing probably Jason Kelce at the end of the season. So, I mean, he's like their spirit leader guy. Yeah, just holding it all together. So,
minute they got booed, they pissed down their leg. Those are words. Man, those are some real words from a Philly legend.
Yeah. Super Bowl champion.
Yep. So, in this one, you're saying, who are you just saying with injuries?
Eagles. Yeah, I'm not betting this game.
Questionable. Slay's quest. Like, I think they're going to have pretty much everyone except for Brown, the safety, the rookie safety.
But yeah, I mean, the Eagles should win this game. The fact that the line's only 3 is kind of crazy. The Bucs have the potential to play well, but I mean, they haven't really played well down the stretch. They get destroyed by the Saints week 17, week 18, took everything they had to score 9 points to beat the Panthers. Neither team is playing great right now, so it's hard to really pick a dog here, but I'm hoping the Eagles can win this, and I'm hoping the Rams can win, and I want to see the Rams go to San Fran and the Eagles go to Dallas.
So I'm taking Tampa. Give me the home dog at +3. Yeah, I mean, I don't think either of these teams are in a good spot right now, but and I'm not sure what's the deal with AJ Brown's. So his ACL was fine. Did it ever say what the injury was?
No, I know he kind of got hurt. Man, I didn't really watch much on Sunday. Just kind of what I saw online and stuff. So, I mean, I just knew he had gotten hurt. I didn't really see anything else past that.
Oh, you know what? AJ Brown convenes players only meeting for Eagles 2 days ago.
Give me
the Bucks. Give me the Bucks. Players only meeting. Give me the Bucks.
They had a players only meeting before the Giants game.
How'd that go?
Exactly. Back-to-back weeks. I mean, usually you don't go back to the well and something like that, especially after how it turned out.
But so, I mean, I just think the Bucks are in a better spot right now. I think their coaching staff is stronger right now, so that I'm taking a home dog. And at 3, I think I'm willing to live with the results there. If it was 2.5, I'd just stay away. But at 3, we'll see if I can at least get a push.
So what's worst case scenario? Rams and Bucks win, and we get San Fran versus the Rams and Cowboys versus Bucks in week 2.
Yeah, I mean, how did the Rams play San Fran this year?
The week 18 game, it was Carson Wentz versus Sam Darnold, and then the other game was early in the season when the Rams were dog shit. So.
I mean, they only lost by 7 in week 2. It was 23-30.
I don't remember it being that close, but yeah.
It might have been a backdoor. Yeah. But also, one note I missed on the Lions. No Sam Laporta this week.
Confirmed?
I believe so.
Took his kneecap. They pulled a switcheroo on him.
Oh, no, I guess he has a chance to play, maybe. I guess there's a chance he plays now. I heard earlier today that there was no Sam Laporta, which is part of why I was on the Rams.
I thought he was playing, but anyway.
So the reports I'm seeing says he has an outside shot to play. So not super confident, but...
They get Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, so the Cowboys would stomp the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, my dream scenario is Rams, 49ers, Eagles, Cowboys, and then Rams, Cowboys, NFC Championship.
Is there a scenario where Detroit goes to Dallas? Because that,
yeah, if Detroit wins, if Detroit wins and Dallas wins, they play each other no matter what. There's no other scenario. If Detroit wins,
you don't want that heat.
I'll take the Heat. I'm scared no Heat. But yeah,
it's going to be a motivated Detroit team after the way that last game against the Cowboys ended.
Are you talking about the playoff game in 2016? Where they got
absolutely rocked? I'm talking about like 3 weeks ago.
I mean, that was just bad all around. They shouldn't even get to that scenario. They called a bullshit tripping call on the Cowboys.
You don't think that they're – I mean, I think that there's going to be a lot of heat on that game if that happens.
Nah. But, yeah, if Cowboys and Detroit win, they play no matter what. There's no other possible scenario because they would be – Detroit's the 3 seed. So,
yeah.
If they win and Cowboys win, they get that game happens no matter what. So,
I kind of want to see it. That game would be so good.
Yeah. So if the Rams win, we get the winner of Philly. No. Yeah. I think if the Rams win, we get winner of Philly or Tampa. So
yeah. What other scenarios are there? So who's winning? Who you got in the NFC Championship?
Cowboys Niners.
Cowboys Niners.
Yeah, I think it's 1-2. Yeah,
I got the same thing.
And then I think AFC.
They're the clear two that like just makes sense.
AFC. I got Baltimore Texans.
I got a beard hair stuck in my mouth. for AFC. Let's talk through the whole AFC first.
Okay, so Baltimore will get the winner of most likely Browns Texans, I would assume. Now, if Buffalo wins, Baltimore will get Buffalo.
Will they? The 2 seed?
Oh yeah, Buffalo's the 2 seed.
Yeah, no, they're gonna get Kansas City, Miami, Houston, anyone except Buffalo, really.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so yeah, I was thinking Buffalo squeaked into the 7 seed. I got my seeds mixed up. Yeah, so give me Buffalo, Baltimore in the AFC Championship. I thought the Texans would play the Chiefs in the second round. That's why I said Baltimore.
Yeah, I got you.
Baltimore, Houston. Yeah, give me Baltimore. Yeah, give me the 1 and 2 seed in both conferences.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going Buffalo. I mean, I just said I think Buffalo's winning the AFC on a wild run.
But I will say,
nuts football. Like,
yeah, I will say if the four home teams win, or if the three home teams. If the division winners win and you get Baltimore versus Houston and Kansas City versus Buffalo, that Texans team is going to be dangerous going to Baltimore.
The Texans, they hung with Baltimore week one longer than anyone expected. Like, I mean, they still lost by a fair amount, but like, it was a close game at halftime, I think.
I mean, with the way Will Anderson's playing right now and the way that defense is flying around, I mean, they're not good, but they fly around.
Yeah.
And that can be dangerous for a team like Baltimore, especially if they can get Lamar running and get him riled up a little bit. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you'd rather play them or Kansas City, but Texans would be not a team I want to play right now.
No, I'd take the Texans over Kansas City, but it's closer than anyone ever would have imagined.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's Baltimore, Buffalo, Dallas, San Fran, and give me Dallas, Buffalo, Super Bowl.
Give me San Fran, Buffalo.
We can't lose 5 times in a row, right?
What are you, NFC championships?
No, just talking about against the, we've lost 4 in a row.
Oh, for Buffalo. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm talking Dallas to the 49ers. We've lost 4 in a row. Can't lose 5 in a row.
I guess not. I don't know. Man, so the thing with Dallas that, like, so, what the nose tackle, what's his name? Hankins?
That's out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he out for the playoffs? Like, period? So. Is he that injured?
Yeah, let me check. Yeah, losing him hurts big time.
Because I really think San Fran is a tough matchup for him without that big nose tackle who can stuff the run. Like,
what if they all get hurt?
Up with him, but it, without him, it just feels insurmountable because their linebackers are so small.
Yeah. Okay, so now he's playing.
He is? Okay, yeah. If he's back out there, I see a world where Dallas beats them. Definitely. Yeah. I'd call it like 60-40 San Fran Dallas, so
yeah.
Basically, I mean, a lock for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just want to get to an NFC Championship game right now and then go from there.
Yeah, once you get in there, that's the battle. I think they can. And if they can take down San Fran, if they're facing Buffalo, they can win it all.
Yeah. I mean, I think they could beat anybody in the AFC. I think if they play San Fran in the NFC Championship game, I think they could beat anybody in the AFC. But it just depends on which Dallas team shows up and which Dak shows up. So,
yeah. So that would be in San Fran, though.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. If it's anybody else other than San Fran, it's in Dallas.
Yeah.
So, if it's Rams, the only teams we can play in the AFC Championship are the Rams or the Rams, Niners, Eagles. Yeah, we can play the Eagles in the NFC Championship. Mm-hmm. Rams, Niners, Eagles are the only 3 teams we can play.
Man, so with the Super Bowl, I just have this image in my head of like Kyle Shanahan getting there again and his quarterback just not being able to overcome a quarterback with superhero powers like Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes again. And he's just like goes back in this like wicked cycle of giving up 3 first round picks to get Trey Lance again. And like, just, it's just this awful cycle that they get stuck in. That's just this image I have.
Yeah. Oh man. They could just go get Caleb Williams.
I don't know about that.
They got a Brock Purdy.
All right. Nah, Caleb's a bear. Caleb's a bear, my friend.
Is it official?
No, nothing's official. Nothing's ever official.
I hope Caleb Williams is a bear. I'll be so happy for you.
Me too, until they destroy his life.
Until he gets,
but anyway.
He's gonna get hit by a bus his first week in Chicago.
Very well might. Very well might. Like, get his right hand cut off or something.
Yeah, he's gonna like go to like open a door and somebody's like gonna be like running past him and just like shatter his wrist.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
I have nerve damage.
God, why am I a Bears fan?
Then they're gonna
It's make a hard life. Then it's a hard make, life out here.
Then they're gonna make the Super Bowl as like some like trash ass quarterback and dominant defense and lose to Pat Mahomes.
Yep. Be the same story all over again, just like 2006.
Yes, sir.
But well, anyways, anything else you want to bring up?
Don't think so. Said we made it to the end.
Yeah,
we were right about CJ Stroud. We've been saying all season. Yep. Said it all off season.
Stroud boys for life.
Tried telling y'all he was the best rookie quarterback in this draft, and Some people listened, but some people didn't. And here we are. Now he's about to make a Super Bowl run.
David Tepper messed up.
If you ask David Tepper, he wanted Stroud.
Yeah. 100%. Frank Reich's damn idea.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This Bryce Young kid. This short guy from Alabama.
Hell of a year. Exciting playoffs. I think outside of the Steelers, I'm excited to see every team play.
Yeah, I'm even excited for. I think that game's going to be like weirdly good.
Yeah,
every Bills game this playoff is going to have heart attack moments, and it's just going to be like great TV.
Yeah, but how much better would that game have been if the Jags won and the Jags were playing Cleveland, and you had this Houston Texans team going up to Buffalo?
Ooh, that would be fun.
That'd be a lot more fun. And then Jags Cleveland. Two loser franchises would be fun.
Yeah. The Jags are just kind of sad at this point, though.
Oh, they're very, very sad. Yeah, what a choke job. 8-3, sitting in the one seed and missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
All they had to do was win two out of their last six.
I mean, I've lived it.
Wasn't that Lovie Smith last year?
Yep. And in 2011 when Jay Cutler broke his thumb.
Oh, yeah.
I've lived it twice.
Brutal.
Sorry, tough life.
Every time
Bears fan.
Every time Tony Romo got hurt back in his day, it was always like week two or week three, so season was over quick.
Yeah. You got a top tier draft pick out of it.
We got Tyron Smith, and then
Zeke.
We only had 1 year of Tony and Zeke. We never even got Tony and Zeke. But yeah,
no, you didn't. But you got Zeke because of it.
Yeah. I was thinking of guys that played with Tony. There's probably some other ones I'm forgetting. The corner that went to Miami that never played, but I think he was like in the 20s when we picked him.
Yeah, I think so.
What was his name? Who was that guy? Byron Jones. Is he even in the league anymore?
No, he had some type of like freak injury, I think.
Oh, yeah, he went and signed that mega contract in Miami, and I never heard from him again.
Yeah.
But he was during that era, but I want to say we picked him on a year that Tony was actually healthy. But anyway.
Question. After last night's performance, is Michael Penix still going in the top 20?
I didn't think he was going top 20 no matter what. I mean, he's an old guy, and I mean, he's played all right, but I mean, the Texas game was definitely an anomaly. I mean, he's played decent throughout the year, but I mean, that was one of the best games I've ever seen out of a college kid, bar none.
I didn't think he was even in the first round conversation, but I saw today he's number 19 on PFF's big board right now.
Even with his age and everything?
Yeah, I think he was even higher earlier today. They might have adjusted it since, but like, after last night, they might have adjusted him down. I thought he was like 10th earlier today.
I don't know the depth of this class, really. So, I mean, if he's 19, I would consider it to probably be a pretty weak first round. But I haven't really dug into it. I know it's top heavy. I know like the top receivers, top quarterbacks, you got some good tackles. I think there's a pretty good edge out of Alabama that people seem to really like.
The D-line talent is really lacking in this class.
Yeah.
So it makes it weird because you usually see D-line go early and often. Yeah. And like there's three edge rushers who are like between Dallas Turner.
Yeah, Dallas Turner, Arizona.
And then Jared Verse, there's three first round edge rushers, but like they're not like guys in previous years, and the D tackle class is just thin.
Yeah, I mean, when one of the top
literally and figuratively, because they're all undersized.
when one of the top corner prospects in the entire draft is a white guy from Iowa, you know it's pretty lackluster.
Is Cooper DeJean a white guy?
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, he's very, very white.
Wow. Look at Iowa making it happen. History. Yeah. I mean, it's a super deep wide receiver class.
Yeah.
And there's probably going to be three QBs in the top 10, if not top five.
Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels definitely goes top five.
I don't know if he should, but I think he will.
I think after Anthony Richardson, he does, even though Anthony Richardson only played like three or four games.
So I might be losing it, but when I was watching Jaden Daniels the other day, dude's got short legs.
He's got like, little stubs, doesn't he?
Yeah, he can't open up his stride and really let his feet rip. Like, he's fast, but he's not like explosive fast in the same way as an Anthony Richardson or Justin Fields are, where they just like they can hit the open field and they're breaking away from everybody. He's different than that. Like,
yeah, he's,
I don't know how else to explain it. It's just like short steps.
He's like a tall version of Kyler Murray.
Yeah, like if you just took Kyler from the waist up and stretched him.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyler runs with those little stubby legs too. But yeah, I think after that performance that he put up this year, I think he goes top five. I don't know where though, because assuming it's Williams and May off the board, if I'm sitting at three, I think if I'm the Patriots, I take Marvin Harrison Jr. no matter what, and then go out and see what it takes for Justin Fields after that. Maybe their second round pick.
Yeah.
And just pair Justin Fields with Marvin Harrison Jr. Give up your second round pick for Fields. Go hire Vrabel.
The Patriots are at the start of a rebuild. Like they don't need to be in a hurry to find the quarterback this year, you know? Like, yeah, that's how you make mistakes. Like, they'll have a chance next year or the year after. Like, it's not urgent. This is the start of the rebuild.
I think if you can go get Fields for your second round pick, which from what it seems, that's a pretty good price, about going to be about the going rate, mid to high second round pick.
Mike Vrabel traded like a second or third round pick for Ryan Tannehill when he got to Tennessee. And he's about to do it again. He's going to turn Justin Fields into Ryan Tannehill. Just watch.
Is that good or bad?
It's better than Fields has been.
Yeah, I mean,
fast Ryan Tannehill. Like, faster Ryan
Tannehill. I mean, if they could just turn Justin Fields... I mean, Justin Fields has much better arm talent than Ryan Tannehill as well. I don't know about that.
Tannehill had a cannon. Fields probably has better accuracy, but Tannehill had... Like, the arm strength was probably pretty similar.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that's where... But, I mean, maybe... Who knows what's going to happen to Fields? I mean, people are saying that there's a chance that Vrabel takes the Ohio State job and Ryan Day is gone, which I think would be crazy if Vrabel goes to college.
No, I don't. Watch, I'm laughing at it, so it's probably going to happen now. But that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
For anybody involved.
No.
Yeah, it's fucking wild. But yeah, I mean...
Next thing you know, Vrabel will be replacing Harbaugh at Michigan. Like, what?
Nah. I mean, he's got ties to Ohio State. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Harbaugh's gone, though. I don't know where he goes.
I mean, I thought he was going to Chicago, but that hope is kind of starting to fade now.
Yeah, I think it's L.A. I think they pony up the money. I think they give him all the control that he wants, and they say, "This is your team, this is your quarterback. Just do what you want with it, because whatever we do doesn't work."
He should really get his agent to tie his incentives and his contract to the fan base growth.
How do you measure that? Jersey sales?
Yeah, sure.
Social media impressions?
Yeah, something like that. Just, hey, triple our jersey sales, and you'll get a $10 million bonus.
Yeah, I'm sure
they're going like five right now.
I'm sure there's some line on the revenue stream that is tied directly to like fan interactions. So I'm sure that can be like, you get X percentage over a certain mark. So it's like, if they've been hitting it at like 1.2 billion or whatever it is for an NFL franchise, like you get 3% over this mark.
That fan base will grow if Harbaugh's there.
Yeah, I mean, he's got ties to California. I mean, I don't think it'd be hard for him to put a coaching staff together. I really think Belichick's going to end up in Washington. It just seems like the Belichick move, even though, like, you would think, like, old in your career, you'd want to, like, go out to West Coast and maybe take over, like, a Raiders team or something. But I don't know. He just seems like he's going to get his quarterback. He's going to get Drake May. He's got a pretty good defense to kind of build around. He's got two big hog mollies up front and got those two big defensive tackles. Find some edge rushers.
A ton of defensive backs, too. They got a ton of talent in their defensive back room.
And, I mean, tons of offensive talent if Drake May can even be half decent for him. I think that's going to be a good job for everything. That might be the best job opening right now, because I mean, you're going to get what you assume is a franchise quarterback, and they shed all their cap space. They have an owner that's like willing to make moves, and they're a team on the rise. They're probably going to be getting a new stadium here pretty soon. Probably going to be changing their name again. I mean, it's brand new slate.
Man, imagine if Carolina still had their pick.
And Bryce Young?
Take UNC legend from a family of UNC legends.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May, number one, and then Washington could get DC local kid Caleb Williams, number two. That would have been wild.
Do you think Caleb Williams or Drake May goes 1-1 if it's Carolina, even with Caleb? I think even with the connection, they would take Caleb Williams.
I think Tepper might do it.
Just to appease the fan base because they hate him so much.
Drake May's older brother is hit the Elite Eight shot. His dad played quarterback at UNC. Like, that is North Carolina family. Like, I feel like he would have to strongly consider it.
Mm. But yet, they took Bryce Young with CJ Stroud on board.
Yep, and I'm glad they did.
Oh, man. Well, you got anything else? We'll be getting into. I'm kind of excited for offseason talk this year. I mean,
dude, I've been living in the offseason for like 4 months already. I'm just glad everyone else has caught up.
Now you know where you're picking. I mean, your picks could be anything.
I mean, I hope it's not a boat. I hope it's a quarterback. But
could be a boat, though.
It could be a vote. It
could be anything. Go take.
There's all these rumors now that the Bears might trade it and keep Fields, and I just.
There are scenarios where I think that would be. I think it's either trade it for just a massive haul and just build around Fields or Williams. Anything other than those two options, I think, is an absolute failure.
Could you imagine being the GM who traded away the opportunity for CJ Stroud and Caleb Williams?
While also being the franchise that is already pegged as the franchise that passed on Patrick Mahomes for Mitchell Trubisky, even though it's different people that did it, it's still on that
franchise. The franchise that just can't figure out the quarterback. But like, that would just be
and like it, just endless ridicule, endless torment. Like the Sunday Night Football graphic will be burned into my brain.
Yeah, there. I mean, there's a lot to be nervous about as a Bears fan. But worst case scenario is somehow, some way, you don't have Caleb Williams or Justin Fields playing quarterback for you next year. If somehow that happens, sell the franchise, move it.
If it's Drake May with a good offensive coordinator, I think it can still work out really well.
I don't know.
I mean, that it's not Caleb.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Even if, like, I think Caleb Williams, no matter what happens, it will be one of those just like, it didn't work out, but nobody wouldn't have taken him in that spot.
Yeah.
To where if you take Drake May and Caleb Williams. I don't
know, revisionist history might just rewrite it as Drake May and Caleb Williams were seen as neck and neck and they chose the wrong guy.
I don't know anybody who has a neck and neck, but
I mean, draft analysts have for months. I don't see it, but that doesn't change the fact.
I think that's just
have it that way.
I think that's just trying to drive some early interest, and I think by the time you actually see,
I think it's stats, like the analytics, like Drake May more than Caleb. I don't like. There's no disagreeing with that. It's just it's clear.
Yeah, just like the analytics, like Bryce Young over CJ Stroud.
Yeah. So. Carito MVP asked, did we see the reports about New England? Do you know what this is in reference to?
No. Jay? Is this recent?
I don't know. Carito, what do you mean by that? What reports? Is that about Vrabel? Vrabel coming in and Belichick leaving? Or something different?
I'm not saying anything on Twitter.
It must be about the idea of Vrabel. That's what I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
I mean, yeah, if Belichick is on the way out, I mean, I think Vrabel makes all the sense in the world for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotta be Vrabel. I think that makes the most sense. I think
the drama Bill brought to the locker room. I don't think I did.
I saw something about it earlier. Basically, just if I remember correctly, just that the players didn't really like him at the end of the season. But I felt like Bill Belichick being a hard guy to play for whenever your team's bad. I feel like he's a hard guy to play for when your team's good.
Yeah, he's just a hard ass. I mean,
I mean.
He hasn't made the best decisions, like Matt Patricia and Joe Judge running the offense, and I can't imagine that sat well with players who, you know, their paycheck is going to rely on what happens in that season.
I mean, Matt Patricia was such a good offensive coordinator that Philly made him their defensive coordinator.
And look where Philly is now.
That defense is terrible.
They need to bring back to call plays. Like, he's still in the building. He's just not calling plays anymore. Like, they need to just give him back. Like, Patricia's not good at this.
Shane Steichen should win Coach of the Year just solely based on Philly's downfall.
Mac Jones is only being matured during everything. That's what Patriots people have been saying. Only being matured.
I don't know. Mac Jones hasn't been good for him.
Yeah, but getting Belichick out and Vrabel in, I think, is probably a good call for them at this point. I mean, Belichick's got to be going to Washington. That's the only, the only other place that I could see is Carolina, but, like, that's a shit situation. I don't see him putting himself in that, digging himself in that hole.
And with, I mean, it's like a rebirth of the Washington franchise with a new owner. You got a second overall pick. Just sunshine and rainbows ahead for that team. I think if Harbaugh comes back to the NFL, I mean, I think it's Chargers or I think it's Carolina, because I could see Tepper being like, everybody hates me anyway, like unlimited money, like I'm just gonna hand everything over to Harbaugh, and then they're gonna butt heads, and Harbaugh's gonna build a monster, and they're gonna drive him out like the Yorks drove him out of San Francisco, and
see,
the team's gonna fall apart and dwindle, and they're gonna have like a good 4-year run, and then they're gonna be left in absolute shambles whenever they force them out and lose everybody in the process.
So one more comment from Carito here. Mac Jones is kind of open, continue his NFL career, but people can see him take Greg McElroy route, retired early, find some way, getting college football media. I mean, Mac Jones is going to hang around the league. He'll be a backup somewhere. He'll fight for jobs. Like, I don't think he's going it. Greg McElroy was like a 7th-round pick. Mac Jones was a 1st-round pick. There's a big difference there, in my opinion. He'll get more chances in the NFL. But back to Harbaugh, I cannot see Carolina for him. I think Harbaugh wants to win a Super Bowl as fast as he can, and I do not think Carolina can provide that. And I don't think it's about money at that point for him. It's about where can I win and make money.
Yeah. So, I mean, in that case, I mean, Chargers, I mean, you have top 5 pick. You have a good roster around you. I mean, I think Chargers make the most sense for him. It's just whether or not the Chargers will pay for a coach. They've never paid for a coach. Yeah. They don't spend money. They're the Oakland A's of the NFL.
The one other spot I can see is Raiders.
I think they keep Antonio Pierce after the Rich Passaccio.
I think they should, but they haven't said anything yet, and Al Davis does crazy shit. Not Al Davis, Mark Davis.
Well, Al Davis did crazy shit, too.
Yeah, Bryce Young and John will hate each other. I think that's valid. I think a lot of QBs and John will hate each other, though. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't, but what if he goes to Carolina and just drafts J.J. McCarthy and finds his way into the, I mean, jump into the top 20 and go grab J.J. McCarthy?
I mean, they're just low on draft capital, man, for the next 2 years.
Yeah, but they could trade Brian Burns. They could trade.
So, I think Harbaugh wants a pool of draft picks because he has close experience with these. Like, you look at when he came to San Fran right after college.
Yeah.
He knew those guys he was drafting really well. And Pete Carroll was the same way in Seattle. He knew those draft classes in and out.
What is Seattle going to do?
I don't know.
I mean, Pete Carroll's he's good. But, I mean, you're not going to fire him. But at the same time, it's what is he, 80 years old now? 78, 79? I think he's the oldest coach in the league. It's how much longer are you going to stick around? We don't want to fire you, but, give us something here?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything there. But the other reason I said Raiders is because that offensive line is already strong, and they have the bookend edge rushers already. So they have a lot to they can just piece gap stuff in.
Yeah,
and I think really do well with him. Another comment from Carito. Because John Harbaugh's coaching style will not match with Bryce Young's leadership he learned with Nick Saban will make each other not like each other. I think it's a valid point.
Harbaugh, Anthony, I don't really see him. I mean, he's a hard guy to play for.
Yeah, he's just a hard ass through and through. He's a red ass. That's what he is. He's just angry about something all the time and always on edge. I mean, I say it like I know him personally. But that's the feeling I get.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. Coaching searches. So I mean, I don't think Vrabel's firing was a surprise. I thought it would be more mutual, but I mean, I guess a mutual parting of ways and a firing are basically the same thing. I was a little bit surprised by the Arthur Smith move in Atlanta, but what are some other moves that you could see that would be kind of surprising? I mean, I think Nick Sirianni, if they lose, is gone. I don't know if that would be surprising or not. I think it wouldn't be smart, but...
I think he'd get another year.
You never know. I mean, Philly, I mean, would they fire Doug Peterson, what, after 2 years after winning a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think Sirianni would get another year, but I think he'd need, like, next year would be, like, it's
hot
all
seat,
or nothing.
Hot
like, you got to win. And man, Arthur Smith surprised me, too. Vrabel didn't surprise me that much. Like you said, like a mutual parting ways, I thought made sense.
Yeah, so I thought one way or the other he'd be on it. Yeah, I thought one way or the other he'd be gone. So, I mean, it was what it was at that point. But
Arthur Smith, like, I don't think he knew he was on the hot seat, I guess. Because I don't think he came in the season as, like, a playoff or bust mode. Because if he did, I just can't believe that they trusted that quarterback situation with that.
Yeah.
I just think getting throttled by the Saints last week pissed enough people off that they were just like, this guy's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised by that. And then...
Here you go. Here's a surprise that Carito's got for us. John Harbaugh signs Colin Kaepernick.
No.
Or Jim Harbaugh, not John. I'm sorry. Where's Derrick Henry go?
See, that's... I don't know. I want to say Baltimore. I feel like every running back just wants to go play with Lamar.
Yeah. I mean, I would too if I was a running back. He makes everything easier. Like,
yeah. I mean, Baltimore makes sense. I could also see Jerry Jones going out and signing him after the Tony Pollard season and paying way too much money for him. And then him just not being very good because he's going to be a 31-year-old running back with 15,000 carries.
Yeah.
But it does seem like a Jerry Jones type of move, which I would not like whatsoever.
Eagles.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, I feel like they're kind of pushing their luck with just signing everybody.
They are.
And yeah, I mean, when everybody, like, so when, like, Shaq Leonard, whenever he went through Dallas and we didn't sign him, everybody in Dallas was like, why don't we ever sign anybody? Then he plays two games for Philly and he's like the worst linebacker in the league. Like, oh, okay. Did you see?
It's such a, honestly, he would have made sense in Dallas because that scheme translates to what he did in Indy pretty well. But like, yeah, what Philly
he must
does
have just looked terrible.
Different. He it's must a completely just looked, different thing than he's ever done in the NFL. And like, he maybe looked, he's just lost it, but
yeah, I mean, he had to have looked just because we needed the help. And like, if he wanted to be in Dallas, I think, or if Dallas wanted him, I think he would have been in Dallas. So I mean, he had to have looked just terrible, but. So we're also in the point of the year where Will McClay, who, if you don't know anything about the Cowboys front office, he's basically the GM without being the GM. He's the head scout, been the head scout forever. Every year he gets people poke around to get a GM job, and then all of a sudden he gets another $5 million raise from Jerry Jones. So happy annual Will McClay raise day, because five teams reached out and he was interested for about 5 minutes, then he removed his name from consideration. So
I was wondering how quick it would take, but like, I saw that it got requested. I was like, yeah, this is a good day for him.
Yeah, it happens every year. He just keeps making more and more money.
So without the drama that comes with being a GM.
And no, yeah, he never gets blamed for anything. Like,
pretty sweet gift.
Taco Charlton, it always falls on Jerry Jones, but yeah, I mean, and then whenever people talk about how good the Cowboys drafted, like, well, you know, it's really not Jerry Jones, it's actually Will McClay, but then when they talk about the misses, it's Jerry Jones. So I mean, who's got it better than him? Nobody.
So I got a feeling that this Carito fellow is an Alabama fan, because he just asked if AJ McCarron is going to stay with the Bengals. Which maybe he does. AJ McCarron, I think, is going to go to the highest bidder.
like whoever will pay him the most is probably where he's playing. So if that's the Bengals, it makes sense for them to have a backup who knows the system. But
I mean, after could end up anywhere. After the way Browning's played, I think he's kind of there.
Oh yeah, that's right. Browning's going to be cheap, and he's going to McCarron's going to be on to greener pastures. He'll land somewhere, I'm sure. He's a solid
probably player. Dallas.
Yeah,
but
Between the Mac Jones, Derrick Henry, AJ McCarron, and who else was it? Greg McElroy,
Bryce Young, Nick Saban.
AJ McCarron's team captain for the Bengals?
I don't think that's true.
I don't know about that, my friend. but we appreciate your interaction.
All right. I think that's my. I'm about to die right now, so I think that's time to call it quits. Thank you for the interactions, Credo. We enjoyed it. We'll see you next week.
And please,
Super Wildcard Weekend.
Listening, don't forget to give us a like, subscribe, comment, let us know if there's something different you guys want to hear, see, whatever it might be. And please, please, please throw us a rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, whatever you listen to, if you can. If you like the show, it would mean the world to us.
Yes, sir. And don't sleep on them Texans, especially this week.
Don't do it.